If you'll look into your bulletin, you'll find a sheet about some notes that you can take. Take a look at that, please, as we go along. We started this series a year and a half ago, and I've been doing it like once a month or so for some time, except during the wintertime when we're gone. And so we're going to continue on with that today. We actually started a little bit of that at family camp, for those of you that were there. Family camp was such a wonderful experience. Got me to thinking months in advance of that about our role in the environment, or our job as caretakers, if you will. So this series, or this message, is titled The Bible, Apologetics, and the Environment. And we've got the PowerPoint up there for you to take a look at. We have a few verses that we have utilized from the very beginning as our foundational Bible verses for this whole series, and I want to take a look at those again today so that you can take a look at those and think about how we are to do this in the things that we're doing. I found it very interesting that this series that Pastor Mike has been done about neighboring falls into this, because the reality is this, folks: we have opportunities to share all the times with our neighbors, with our friends, a lot on social media these days, and we really are expected by the Lord to have an answer for all those things that take place. My sense has always been that the Bible speaks to literally everything that takes place in our life, that there is some answer from the Bible regarding anything that takes place, and that we really are called to know all of that. And so as we have done this, we have taken subjects, picked out subjects to talk about, and so this one has to do with the entire idea of environment. Let me talk a little bit about the word apologetics just for a minute. You can understand that that word comes from the idea of apology, or to give an answer back. We as Christians do not have to apologize for the Bible. Sometimes maybe as Christians we have to apologize for our actions, or maybe the things that we said or misspoke. But we don't have to apologize for that. So the idea about apologizing comes from more along the lines of defending, being able to defend the scriptures, that what they say are accurate. And it's what we hear in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Pretty much covers it all, doesn't it? Along with that one, 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And I think this is good too. That's a little challenging at times for us, but I've really come to believe that it's a few verses on all the subjects that we look at that you can do that. My hope is that somewhere down the line when we finish up this series, I'm going to wrap it all up for you in a study guide, and you can have it. And so each subject that we have talked about, there'll be three or four or half a dozen Bible verses or whatever that will cover those things. And so when conversations come up, you'll be, as it says, ready, prepared to give an answer. I picked this verse today, 1 John 3:16. See how this one is. I like this. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and for our sisters. We recognize that the number one purpose of the Bible is to let us know about Jesus Christ, about God who came to save us, about the fact that we are sinners and that we need redemption, and that without him we are totally and completely lost with that. That's the number one message of the Bible. And the responsibility for that is this, like we said there in verse 3:16, and that we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Now think about that for just a second, if you will. What does that mean to lay down your lives? I mean, we might think of it in the big picture as some sort of a martyr or something like that, like Stephen, who would lay down his life for that. But I think it's in the process of all the things that we do. It's sacrificial in the things that we do for the folks that are around us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, that we are in that continuing process of giving ourselves up for others. So I'd like to have another word of prayer if we can here. And one of the things that I think that we really need to pray, we didn't touch on it earlier today, is that once again in the United States, we've had another act of terror. This took place, if you didn't know, at the Tree of Life Synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. 11 people were gunned down. Many more were injured, and terrible act of terrorism. It seems like it takes place all the time in our country anymore. My biggest concern for this is that we become desensitized to this, and it doesn't seem to mean a whole lot to us. We should grieve today for that fellowship and what they are going through. Can you imagine what Sunday or what their services would be like as that takes place? So let's pray. We'll pray for that, pray for this message. Lord, first of all, we lift up to you the Tree of Life Synagogue Fellowship in Pennsylvania. I cannot begin to imagine what they all must be feeling as 11 members have been lost. You know, Lord, we have a link with the Jewish people. You came for them, you came for us, Lord. And so as we think about our safe place today here with you, would you be mindful, Lord, that we need to be aware of the things that take place with our brothers and sisters, not only in this country, but around the world as well, Lord, that through the things that we study, the things that we learn, that we can somehow be a voice of reason in these troubled times that we live. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about the idea of what environment is. So we're just going to define it. You know, this just comes out of the dictionary, out of the encyclopedia, and it's an interesting way of looking at it. We might tend to think about environment as that which is outside there today. It's a pretty sweet environment right now. All the sweet rain, gentle temperatures and all that, you know, this is really, really nice. We can think about 2 months back when it was a very different environment, and we're all choking on all this smoke and all that, and it was something else. But there's an environment in here as well that we are a part of. I was reminded of it when we came here early this morning to kind of help get ready to have our day here, our worship time, and just how nice the place looked, how clean it was, how people came to gather together to help get everything ready today, and just what a sweet environment that has tried to be created here. We have that here with each other. You know, the fact that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, but even more, we are friends and lovers, and you know, all the hugs and everything that takes place with that, you know, and it's a wonderful thing. And so let's just think about that for a little minute. So here's the definition: the circumstances, objects, or conditions by one which one is surrounded, okay? And we oftentimes see that in a number of different environments that all play into each other. Two, the complex of physical, chemical, and biotic factors, such as climate, soil, and living things that act upon an organism or an ecological community and ultimately determine its form and survival. The aggregate of social and cultural conditions that influence the life of an individual or community. And you think about that, and we are very influenced upon all the things that are in our environment. What I'm hoping that we'll see today as we go through this is that we have a responsibility to be an active part of that environment and to be involved in all of that. That we are here to understand our environment, and not only just that, but we are to influence our environment around us as well. There's little key words like a hostile environment, we've heard that one. A friendly environment, a nurturing environment, all these kinds of things that play into that. We are living in a time right now in our country where it seems to be more of a hostile environment. We are in this ugly political season right now that not only takes place in our own nation, but states and counties, even to our little lone city here in Shady Cove, the political negative environment that seems to be taking place. And we are involved in it, whether we want to be or not, but we do have a choice about how we can influence that environment that is around with us. So I want to give us God's view of what environment is, and I picked up a couple little verses. So here's Psalm 24:1. Please listen to these Bible verses. Most of these Bible verses I'm going to share with you today are very, very familiar verses. But I'd like you to really think about them in the context of what we're talking about today and find yourself in those. So Psalm 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters." So it's very clear to say that God's the one that created it. He founded it. Everything in it is his. Psalm 89:11. "The heavens are yours. The earth also is yours." That's our place. "The world and all it contains, you have founded them." Some key words in there. Every. All. Which is an interesting thing to think about when you think about some of the aspects of the environment that you're involved in, because more than likely there's some things about the aspects of your environment you don't particularly like. Maybe some people you don't particularly like. We frankly have been challenged in this neighboring series that Pastor Mike has done for the last few weeks because we have some neighbors that we just don't particularly care for. I don't know how to say it more than that. You know, they just are not the kind of neighbors we would have picked. We have done everything we can to try to be good neighbors to them, you know, but between the pot smoking and the all the stuff that goes along with it and all that sort of thing, you know, it's just like, oh, you know. But that's not the attitude that we're to have. The attitude that we're to have is to be a part of that environment so that somehow we can influence them. It's our task to change it, and we're going to show you in some verses today about why that is. So our worldview is that there is a God, and all we see is his creation, and our response to it in all things is to give him honor and praise, to abide in that, and to be obedient to that in everything and in all things. So we see it that way, and it's a message that desperately needs to be shared today. So we're going to take a look at some study verses. And I'd really like you to think about putting that thinking cap on. Screw that thing down real tight. We're going to look at a few verses. Most of them are very familiar verses, but I'd like you to really, really give them some thought and think about why God placed them there and why we need to think about them and how we're going to understand them, learn from them, and most importantly, act upon them. All right, so first, Genesis 1:26, 27. "Then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. First of all, I want you to notice that God says, let us, okay? You want to have a little fun conversation, throw that in front of a Jehovah's Witness sometime, okay? They really struggle with that one because they don't know who the us is. We know who the us is: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Trinity got together and made his finest creation, and that happens to be us. But then what we see in here is a responsibility that we have. And I think it's very, very different than what the world wants to tell us today as far as what our responsibility is. So let's look at this for a second. What are we supposed to be doing? We are over all the creatures that move along the ground. We are the ones that God has put in charge. He's not giving it to us. We don't own it. We are stewards of that. And we have a responsibility to all those things that take place, including any time that we hear some philosophy that says that's not the case. Because it's out there all the time. Well, the earth can take care of itself. You know, we are just a part of it. Maybe we're not even the good part of the whole thing. Maybe we should all go back to what it used to be millions of years ago. Maybe that would be the best thing altogether. Maybe man should just go extinct so that the creation or so that the environment can be what it can be. These are the kinds of things that are out there that you will hear. Nonetheless, God said it very clearly that he created us and that he has the one that has put us in charge of that. And that's not to be something that we just sit by docilely by. We are to have an active role in it. Okay, let's go on to Genesis 9, 1 through 3. This is, again, this is, has to do with Noah. You know, the flood has taken place. Mankind has another shot at it to get started. And so God says this in Genesis 9, 1 through 3. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth, all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands." Underline that. They are given into your hands. "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you, just as I gave you the green plants, now I give you everything." So I think there's a great responsibility to the fact that God has set this in our hands. And what do we do with that? I think some things we've done pretty well with, some things we've done really, really badly with, and these are things that we need to take a look at and consider. All right, the next two verses we're going to look at have to do with what is known as the fall of mankind. The fall of mankind is evident. This is Genesis 3, 17 through 19. The fall of mankind is evident in everything that we see that is around us. You know, it is just the way that it is. Here's the difference, however, is that while the evidence of the fall of mankind is evident to everybody, different philosophies might want to go ahead and explain about why it is the way that it is. And so what we really need to do is take a good look at this today so that we can formulate an answer for ourselves about how we might spell that out, explain that to somebody else. And I'll have a little example to share with you in just a moment. So, Genesis 3, 17 through 19. To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife," don't start on me, "because you listened to your wife and you ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat it." Okay, so we know that mankind fell, and you know, we can point fingers at each other all we want on that. Nonetheless, we all messed up. So because of that, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, to dust you are, and to dust you will return." One of the things that we really need to understand is not only is there a curse, but the reality is this: that curse, like it or not, argue with it or not, is our fault. Okay? Some of you might say, "Well, if I'd been the first Adam, if I'd been the first Eve, you know, it would have been a different story." Guess what? It would not have been. You might have picked something else, but nonetheless, that was the case. So we have this responsibility to accept the fact that the ground, that the earth that we live in is cursed, that we get old, that we get sick, that we die, that there's all these terrible things that take place. All this stuff goes on, and we bear the responsibility of that. Now, that's not designed to make us just feel terribly guilty about all that, because it's just the way that it is, but more importantly, to see how we might be able to respond to that instead. Let me share this part here. I go out to the VA because I'm a veteran, and I get a lot of care out there, medical care. My primary doctor is there, and there for a few years I had a doctor who was an interesting fellow. It was not what you would normally think about as your typical VA doctor. He was long-haired, wore his hair in a braid, was from Ashland. Musician, you know, if he wasn't seeing patients, he was in his guitar, in his office strumming the guitar and singing away. He had some reasons why he chose to pick that, because he realized that, you know, he'd make a lot more money being a doctor than a musician, so, you know, he kind of coupled the two together. So he was just this Ashland hippie doctor guy, you know, that served out the VA, and he was my main doctor for a number of years. And for whatever reason, I don't know what it is, you know, because the guy saw hundreds of patients, but he always looked forward to seeing me, and we always just had this ongoing conversation all the time. He even told me, he says, "You're a guy I kind of like to get to know better, you know?" And I'm thinking to myself, well, I didn't say what I was thinking to myself, but But it was an interesting thing to have this fellow doing all this, you know. And so, and you know, you've probably had friends or acquaintances like that where every time you get together, it's just like you just kind of start this conversation all over again, and away you go. It just continues in you on and on and on. So I go in there, and he's doing all these things to examine me and all this, and we're just having this long-term conversation, and that ends, and I come back a few months later, and the same thing. So anyways, we're talking about something, I think maybe life and illness and, you know, all the things that we have to deal with. I'm a disabled veteran, so I got, you know, problems and issues that bother me, and so I'm talking with him about that. And I'm always looking for opportunities with him to share a little bit, you know, because I know that his worldview is so much different than my worldview. And so we're talking about all this sort of thing, and his answer to this is this, and please don't laugh, because I really had to think about what he had to say. He says, well, our evolution is just not far enough along yet. So his answer to the curse, he recognizes there's a curse, I recognize there's a curse, we all have to recognize it, it's just out there, was that, well, you know, we just simply haven't evolved along far enough yet in the human race to be better and all that. And, you know, I wanted to give him an eye roll on that one, but I didn't, because I had to think about it. I had to respect where he came from. He's an educated man, very bright fellow, a very unique guy, and I know that it is something that he thought out, you know, quite a bit. He was wrong in it, but he thought out quite a bit, and I had to think about that and go, all right, I have to be respectful of what he said. I have to be respectful of what he thought about that, but what I need to be able to do is come back with him with some sort of an answer that'll get him to thinking a little bit differently. Now, you think about it yourself, especially if you came to the Lord a little bit later on. Maybe you weren't a kid, maybe you were an adult and all that sort of thing. You literally had to exchange, more than likely, a whole set of way of looking about things to the Christian worldview. I did. I had to lay down a whole lot of stuff. You know, 30 years ago, I probably said the same thing to the view that I have today. So one of the things that we have that is really, really wonderful is if we have the Word and we are studying it and we've got the Holy Spirit dealing with us in these things, we've got the right answers. But it's how we're going to be able to spell that out to people so that we don't alienate them, so that they'll keep talking with us, so that we'll have more opportunities. So rather than give him the eye roll, okay, which I like to have done, you know, I found different ways to kind of talk with him, and we talked more since then regarding all those things, and I think that's part of the whole process altogether. We are to do it gently. If we're going to rebuke somebody, we need to do it gently. We need to do it in such a way that we do not alienate those people out there. You think about that for a second. You think about those people that came along in your life before you became a Christian that helped you into the kingdom. And there were some maybe that kind of pushed you away a little bit too because of the things that they said. And so it's important that we are able to do this. One last verse, Romans 8:18, if you will, please. I think this puts it into real perspective regarding the fact that we live in this cursed world of things for us to look at. We're going to look at 18 through 25. We're going to take a few moments to talk about them. But these are such wonderful verses. They really are. They are such an encouragement to look at and to read. I hope you underline the whole thing, okay? I hope you go back this week and look at it again. So here's Paul talking. He says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We know that. We wait for that in great expectation. We know that it might get worse, but it's going to get a whole lot better. The creation waits in eager expectation. The sons of God to be revealed, for the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. Let me explain that a little bit. You know it. In fact, if you think about it, we pretty much deal with the fall in almost in every aspect of ourselves. Everything that goes on in the day, we have to deal with the fact that we live in the fall of mankind and all the things that take place. You think about all the things that you have to do just to get through the day. just so you can feel better, just so you can do what you need to accomplish. But, and it really is a battle with the fall of mankind that takes place and all those things. You think about all the things that are going to be in heaven compared to the things we deal with now, it's an amazing thing to think about. There'll be no doctors. There'll be no medicine cabinets. There'll be no pharmacies. There'll be no bathrooms, all kinds of different things that we have to struggle with all the time. But what this verse says in here is that creation itself deals with that. It's frustrated by it. It's weighed down by it, the same way that we are, all the things that take place in that. Let me read that again, verse 24. The creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected to it in hope, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself, like we, waits in expectation of when it's going to get better. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. We see that every place we look, if we just look. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait for it patiently. What I think these verses do for us is a number of things. One, they do give us hope. They do help us to understand that things will be better. But they also identify that everything else in creation goes through this as well. You know, maybe my little dog can't verbalize that and all that sort of stuff when she's got some aches and pains or whatever, but nonetheless, creation feels the same way with that, along that. And my point of that is this, is that we bear a responsibility, I think, to being able to deal with all that. You'll have to think about it in your own way, give it some thought, give it some prayer, but what I'm hoping today is that as we look through these things, maybe it'll give you some new thoughts about my responsibility in all this and how I can make some differences. All right, let's jump into the next slide if we can. So this was where we had our family camp. Many of you will recognize that picture up there. It was a beautiful day up there. You might notice in the picture, actually, there's a little bit of smoke in the sky. I'll talk about that in a minute as well. What I wanted to highlight in that picture was this couple that's up there as well. It's John and Jeanette Logston. And if you notice back there as well, way back in the corner, Roger's standing there. But it was a glorious weekend. You know, the weather cleared enough for us so we could enjoy it. The smoke stayed away for the most of the time. And we got to experience, you know, the Lost Creek Ranch in all its glory and beauty. And I hope many of you got an opportunity to talk to John and Jeanette. I've gotten to know them over the last couple of years now. Were very helpful in my research. But what the thing I noticed about these people was that they work all the time. They live in this 200-acre paradise up there, and it is a paradise up there, but their job never ends. I don't know what time these folks get started in the morning or how long they must go through the day to do all that they need to accomplish to keep that place the beautiful place that it is. But it was a real lesson to me in the sense that as we look at our environment, God has called us to be caretakers in that environment. And these folks do the best that they can. John's 80 years old, and you know, he recognizes that it's beginning to become his time where he's going to have to pass that on to somebody else, and that's just the way that it is. But the beautiful lesson to me was the fact that God has called each and every one of us to be caretakers of things that are around us. That includes the things, that includes the people, that includes our neighbors, all those kinds of things, and we are expected to be able to be involved in that. So I thought I'd just pick on two little things to talk about regarding all that. And you could go any place in the world today. You could find yourself in another portion of the world and find that that area would have its own issues. But, you know, we came through a season where The smoke was so terrible. The air quality was so awful. You know, it felt like we had summer stolen from us. And there was lots and lots of comments about that and why it was. But I really had to think about the fact that we can't just sit by and wait for the Lord and not do something about what our environment is. You know, I don't know, is it in better forest management? You know, is it a higher understanding of all these kinds of things? I don't know what it is. Another one that's really troubled me a lot is the fact that just a few miles away, ranchers up in the Prospect area have had to deal with attacks by wolves, Alaskan gray wolves down here in southern Oregon. And you have to really think about that a little bit. Is that a good idea? Was that a good idea to introduce these things down here? You know, I'm not saying one way or another whether it is. What I'm saying is that as reasonable Christians, we got to reason through these things and think about these things and make our voice heard about these things and make decisions about these things. I mentioned it when I talked about this family camp that we had just come off of from the Franklin Graham Crusade, and how he really encouraged in all the communities he speaks to everybody to get involved in all aspects. You know, the government, the city, you know, our businesses, all those kinds of things. That what are we doing through our worldview to improve our environment? It's already very clear what God has said, that he has given that to us to take care of it. And so when questions come up about forest management, you know, Alaskan gray wolves, all those kinds of things take place. Here in Oregon, we got one of the biggest issues that we have ever faced in Oregon that we really need to be thinking about more than anything else, I think, right now. And that's the fact that our tax dollars go to support abortion. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that you may be as pro-life as you can possibly be, that your belief is in the sanctity of human life. But if you pay taxes into Oregon, your dollars are going to support abortion. And that is a shocking, amazing, sad thing to think. And I'm so afraid, like the incident that has just taken place, the mass shootings that take place all the time, that we become so desensitized to these things that we don't think about them enough that we do to act upon them. We have some big decisions in this state to make, lots of things that need to happen, and we need to be involved in it. What I'm delighted about is that in this church that we are seeing newer, younger generations as well. You know, a lot of us are getting pretty old in the tooth. We're not going to be around here forever. We need to do what we can in the process. But you that are younger and that you are involved in Christian, in your Christian life and the things that you do, you have to be out there for all those things. We have decisions and we have things that must be decided and must take place. I think it's interesting that if you are a younger Christian, younger generation Christian, that you really have grown up in a time Paul told Timothy is an out-of-season time. There was a time in the 40s and the 50s up to the early 60s where Christianity was just simply the way that it was supposed to be in this country. That's the way that it was. It is no longer that way. And so younger generations, you've got a lot to deal with. But nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact of what we are supposed to do. So I'm hoping that with these few verses that I've shared with you today regarding our environments, that this gives you a little bit of fodder. This gives you a little bit of thought about how you might be able to share that when the opportunity comes up. So with that, we're going to close a little bit different today. We're going to show a video. It's a beautiful video. You just kind of get to sit back for the next 4 or 5 minutes and just worship through this wonderful video. So I'm going to pray now. We'll play the video. At the end of the video, we'll be done. Invite you to join us in the fellowship hall. My prayer today is going to be that you have opportunity, that God sticks something in front of you this week, or you can go ahead and share the reason for the hope that you have. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have given us so much. You truly have. Yes, Lord, we do live in this cursed world. We do wait expectantly for when it's going to be better. In the meantime, Lord, help us to be good ambassadors, to be your servants, to be your caretakers, Lord, so that in all the things that we do, we have an opportunity to share your love, share your wisdom in all the things that make this our life that we live. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.